This is that other sports shit. Let's go.
I also wish that when I speak into my phone mic, that I sound like you speaking into yours.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you brought this up.
I still sound like I'm talking on a phone.
Yes, you do.
Whereas you sound, like right now when you're talking to me,
yeah,
it sounds like you're on a mic.
But when I'm talking to you right now, it does not sound like you're on a phone. It sounds like you're on a mic. So I don't know if it's the podcast app or fucking who knows, but I noticed this now when I listen back to the show, and I did this, God, what was it, yesterday or the day before? And I put it on in the car. I actually Bluetoothed it to the car. Yeah, you and I was going to start the show by talking about this. You sound like you are on a fucking phone, and I'm wondering if it's driving you nuts. All right.
I sound like I'm an operator trying to plug in the fucking wires to get you connected to fucking China or something.
It's 1930 and you're a switchboard operator.
I'm a switchboard operator.
And there's 50,000 plugs, and one will send you to France and one will send you to fucking Pawtucket. That's it. That's what you got going on there.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. I'm hoping it's a little bit sunnier where Jay is than where I am. I'm currently outside doing the podcast on my back porch because it's nice enough and I got cover so I won't get wet. Hopefully it's nice where you are, and hopefully you're listening to that other sports show with Jay and Jesse. We are both here. We got some topics to cover. We got a special guest interview, a very good friend. Not just of the show, but just a very good friend. Very much looking forward to getting him onto the show and just bullshitting, catching up for a couple minutes, and then getting into some shit, because that's what we like to do on this show. We will start out the show with some MMA takes. We will then percolate up a little to a little bit of the NCAA college basketball championships. Shout out to Baylor. Shout out to the Lady Cardinals and Stanford. We'll talk more about that. And then we'll get JVD on the phone. We'll talk football. Football, football, football. Let's go introduce to you the man on my left, Mr. Jay Valdez.
Hey, now, what's up, y'all? Shout out to Jess. We've made it back. I think this is episode 6, 5, or 6. Maybe this
five.
Is 5.
We got
this
5.
This is number 5. Season 10, episode 5. Jesse was telling me off air. He's very excited. The listens are up. I've been a huge fan of pushing Jesse. Let's try and push some MMA on the show. Let's try and push some combat sports. That's what gets the crowd going. That's what gets the listeners up. We're probably going to have more MMA combat sport guests here in the next 2 to 4 weeks. Jesse's in his bag. I'm in my bag. We're sliding in y'all DMs. So if you know, you know. It is good to be back, Jess. We've got some combat sports we're going to start with. I've got two random MMA questions here for you. I wouldn't say they're hot topics, but they're simmering topics, if you will.
I like simmering. Let's go.
We weren't able to touch on it last week, and I want to start here. The Julio Cesar Chavez versus Anderson Silva fight.
Woo!
That's actually happening. I'm excited about it, and here's why. Because you know me, I'm a fan of chaos in combat sports. I'm a fan of just weird fights. I'm a guy that's paid for weird fights going all the way back to 2001 when I was paying for pride fights and watching, you know, 400 pound dudes fight a 155 pound minimum man. So I'm here for any weird fight. I'm here for anything different. Anderson is in a weird spot in his career, right? Clearly has phased out of his prime. Julio Cesar Chavez in an incredibly weird spot in his life, but also an intriguing fighter, right? I mean, he is the son of one of the greatest fighters of all time in boxing and combat sports. Some would say he's ridden, you know, is the word ridden? He's taken that opportunity and parlayed the absolute shit out of it. Did you know, Jess, that Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. has 59 fights?
Damn.
A lot of them are just random fights in Mexico. I mean, my man was fucking fighting Jalisco.
Is he like cockfighting and stuff too?
They would have the cockfights first, right? So the cockfights was like the co-main event. It'd be like the biggest rooster from Guadalajara versus the biggest rooster from Juarez. Like, they'd put the blades on them, and then they'd clean up the blood. They'd clean it all up, and then after that, they'd get Chavez Jr. It was a seamless transition, if you will. Silva versus Chavez, are on a scale of 1 to 10, Jess, where's your intrigue level at, and what are you thinking about this?
I'm with you, man. I love the carnival aspect of combat sports. Pride drew me in. You know, you get to watch UFC 1, you know, where you got the big Samoan, you know, sumo guy taking on the little tiny, you know, karate guy. You get to see all this stuff, right? I love the craziness, just like my boy Jay is talking about. This fight, in reality, one of the most stupid things I've ever heard of. But yet, I am so drawn that I am literally going to, well, I'm going to attempt to illegally
You're gonna find a way to watch. This is what you're saying.
Yes, I'm gonna. Oh, thank you. Thank you for correcting me. I plead the fifth on that. I did not say illegally. That was not me. I am going to attempt to find a way.
That was not me.
To watch the fight.
Just edit that.
That was not me. That was somebody.
Just edit that, Jess. We can. This isn't a live show anymore, pal. Just fucking
That's
edit
right.
it.
That part is gone.
He gone.
Fucking God, didn't say shit.
No.
I will try to find somewhere to watch the fight, and if not, I possibly would even be willing to pay. Because fuck, man, it's Anderson Silva. We know that he's a great kickboxer. We know that he's dabbled in boxing, and obviously from combat sports, all you fans out there, you understand and know what he's done for the sport of MMA. And then, of course, Julio Cesar Chavez, coming from that great bloodline of boxing. And I had no idea. I'm glad that Jay is a boxing purist, because he just laid out 59 fights. It's absolutely amazing.
Right.
So yes, Jay, I'm like a 9 right now.
I like it. Wow, that's 9. I like it. That's cranked up. I figured you'd be like a 7.5, but you're like me. You like chaos in combat sports. You like weird shit. You like a little bit of this. You like a little bit of that. Do you think Anderson has any chance in this fight? Is this, I mean, I know you don't know a ton about Chavez Jr., but I will say this. He's an above average boxer. And he's got a lineage, right? He's lost. Yeah. He's, I would say this, if you look at his career, he's lost to the elite guys. He got beat up pretty bad by Canelo. He got beat up a little bit by Daniel Jacobs. I think Daniel Jacobs actually stopped him on the stool, if I remember right. So the big fights, you know, some of the bigger fights he's lost, you know, the close fights in Mexico, some of those fights that were 7-5, you know, fights that might have been losses in other people's eyes. Of course, they gave him W's. So Chavez Jr. has always been that, you know, I'd say, above average tier guy. So it's interesting because you think ultimately, let's just break it down to bear tax, right? Brass tax, if you will. I'm going to have an above average boxer fighting one of the most elite kickboxers, strikers of all time. But he can't strike, can't kick, can't knee. That's what we all know Anderson might have been best at. You know, the Muay Thai, if you will, it's all punches. But we also know Anderson was incredibly slick, brought a completely different style when it came to what he did with his hands. Will that translate to a boxing ring against Julio Cesar Chavez? Well, that's the intrigue, right? That's why you're at a 9.5, Jess.
Exactly. So, first thought, if I was going to go into this and be looking at this seriously, which I think if you are interested in this fight, you should be seriously vested in the fact that it's either Anderson Silva or Julio Cesar Chavez. One of the two you should be vested in. If not, you should just be like I am, not vested in either at this point in time. I just want to see some freaky shit.
Yes.
So
I just want to see cool shit.
It is. Who in the world, like all these guys on Twitter and all you little, like, you know, like combat sports purist guys, all you guys run around like, oh, I'm the shit. I talk this all the time. Listen, man, I think that if you don't watch combat sports mostly just for the fun and the thrill of it, you're losing so much of what the sport mm-hmm. has to offer you. But back to this fight, Anderson Silva, obviously, like Jay said, and I mentioned a little bit ago, a very, very highly skilled and decorated kickboxer, black belt in jiu-jitsu. We've seen him finish people on the ground. We've seen him finish people on the feet. Hell, Forrest Griffin just got finished. Like, he was just done. But this is a whole different realm. We've seen boxers enter the MMA ring. They have not fared so well. What was it, James Toney and Randy Couture back in, like, 2009 or some shit? Yeah. That was a terrible thing to watch. But I still watched that motherfucker because it was awesome. It was awesome.
It was good times. So, it was, hey, listen, it was chaos, potential chaos, and MMA. I'm still an enormous James Toney fan, and the thing that sucks about James Toney's career in combat sports overall is that's probably going to be the thing he's most remembered for, and it won't be the great fights he had when he went all the way up to heavyweight. He was an incredible cruiserweight, stylistically one of the hardest guys ever to hit. It was just fun to watch. Stylistically, just fun as fuck to watch. That crab style of defense that you don't see a lot of guys do anymore. Just made for so many exciting fights. If you're looking for a random fight to watch on YouTube, Vasily Zhirov versus James Toney. And this is just two guys beating the absolute shit out of each other. It is a fantastic fight. I would usually say, Jess, you know, I'm going to pick the boxer in this scenario, if it's an 8 or a 10-round fight, because the MMA guy is usually going to fade if it gets to the 6th and 7th and 8th round.
Look what happened to Conor.
It's kind of that's really the example we have to use when it's an MMA guy moving over to a cage, right? That's the standard, if you will. That's really what we like to – that's the blueprint. But Chavez has never been known as a strong 8, 9, 10-round fighter. He's been the opposite. He's been known to fade. He's been known to quit on his stool. He's been known to, you know, let the actual aspect of, man, I'm getting my ass kicked and I'm just going to get up out of here, get in between his ears. So I wonder if Anderson thinks, hey, the game plan is I'm just going to stick around and him with some shots, see if I can, you know, lead him into deeper waters. But can Anderson do that at 45? If anyone can, it's Anderson, right? He's not being pushed like it's an MMA fight where he's been taken down and having to, you know, exhaust his arms and his upper body, defending takedowns. He's always been springy on his feet, but he's also been able to plant his feet. So I this is truly to me, Jess, it's a pickup fight. I'm kind of wondering now, while I got it up, what Vegas thinks. What does Vegas think of this fight? Does Vegas have odds for this fucking fight? By the way, Jess, this fight is on, it's on the books already, June 19th.
Nice. That's perfect time,
I see no odds for this fight as of now. Surprisingly,
it's an absolute pick'em fight.
Believe it or not,
the month of June, and then they'll throw some odds at you again. Three weeks before.
MMA Junkie has a poll up, and it's 73% Chavez Jr. wins, 22% Anderson Silva wins. I voted Anderson. I voted Anderson just because 6% draw.
Where are you, Anderson?
6% draw. Hey, this feels like one of those dumbass fights, too. Like, if you could bet on it, just bet draw. Just bet fucking draw. It's going to be one of those dumbass fights where it ends up going 10 rounds, and then they don't give it to anyone, and it ends up being a draw. I'm telling you right now, it's betting people. If this goes 10 rounds, my people, listen to me. You know us. We told you to put money on Baylor. We hope you listen to us.
Do it.
Listen, just put money on a draw. All right. It's probably cheap. Throw 20 on it. See what happens. Here's the other combat sports thing I want to talk to you about here, Jess. I think we got about 10, 15 minutes. We wanted to also cram some basketball in here. What is this thing? What are they calling this event? Thriller? Is it like trill? Like, it's cool. It's trill. Isn't that what it, or a triller?
Is that still a word? Is that word still usable?
Because it's spelled T R I L L E R. Triller. So that's not.
Did somebody get drunk and let their 13-year-old come up with the name?
That's not thriller. That's
what happened. Oh, so they're gonna have like the fake, like, fat Michael Jackson come out and sing a song, right? Like, that's what happens. This is like Vegas.
Yeah, I don't know about the Triller thing. It's called Triller, T R I L L E R. It's a combination of Thriller and Trill.
Trill?
Equaling Triller.
Is this the Snoop Dogg event?
Yes. Yes. This is all I want to talk to you about. So there's a bunch of random fights on here. They got Frank Mir's fighting on here. But what do you think about
this? I love it.
I don't know if I've seen you talk about this on social media or if I've seen you if you actually have a winner. But just off the top of your head right now, and this fight is it next weekend? What the fuck is it? Who you got? You got Jake Paul or you got Ben Askren? It's a boxing match. They're going
to
box.
This is going to horribly upset a lot. Maybe it won't. A lot of people don't seem to like Ben Askren, but I've got Paul in this fight. I think that he's going to take it to Askren, and I think so. I think because, listen.
You're upsetting a lot of people on MMA Twitter right now.
We forget that because Paul is such a douchebag, that he's actually got some skill set in boxing. He's been doing it long enough. And Ben Askren, when the fuck has this guy ever had hands? When has he ever used his hands in combat sports to beat anybody's ass? Never.
There's a bad super clip of him, like, slapping a lot of guys in the UFC. Like, he's in between exchanges, and his, like, finishing shot is just, like, a bad, like, chop. It's like a bad Mongolian chop. It's really bad. It sounds poor.
But, the barbarian would be embarrassed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Him. Mang would not be happy. He'd be like, what was that? His haiku would not be happy. So, I'm sorry. So, what do you really got Paul in this one?
I got Paul.
You haven't been, like, persuaded by the videos of Ben Askren training with, like, Freddie Roach and training at, like, a boxing gym. None of that has persuaded you at all?
No, not at all. Not at all. Look, Ben, look, you know best because you know boxing way more than I do, and you are surrounded by people who know more boxing than you do. So here's the thing that I get from boxing. You can't just have no hands and then go hire Freddie Roach, and then all of a sudden you got fucking lightning quick fucking jabs in a mean fucking left hook. It just doesn't happen. Boxing and your hands, all of it is not just a progression, but it also is something that great boxers have naturally. Ben Askren has no striking naturally. So I don't care who he hires. Unless Freddie Roach decides to go in and fight Paul for him. Paul, I think, is going to beat the snot bag out of fucking Ben Askren. So
that's an 8-round fight. Can you believe it's, well, so 24 minutes. Askren's fought 25 minutes in MMA. Some of those wrestling matches are what, 20, 25 minutes? 30? Shit, I can't think off the top of my head. God, I really want to pick Askren here, man, but I just can't.
Don't do it.
I just can't, man. I just can't. I feel like I'm letting the MMA community down. I feel like I feel like a real loser saying that I think that Jake Paul's going to win this fight. I mean, he's not going to knock him out, right? God. He's not going to knock him out. Right? You can't.
I'm picking by knockout.
Wow, you're insane. If
I'm going there.
If Askren survives 8 rounds, is that considered a moral victory?
If he can get to a decision, I will officially declare Ben Askren the non-technical winner.
They got to declare it a draw.
It's like the
Chavez Jr. Anderson Silva fight. You got to declare it a fucking draw. I'm sorry. There's no other call. God, I feel like such a heel. Fucking picking. So this is kind of like the thing. Who's the last fighter we really didn't like, but you still had to pick him to win? Who am I thinking? I guess Mayweather, right? Who's the guy that, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of somebody in MMA offhand that I can't think of anybody unless they're just slipping my mind right now. I was a Colby guy, so I never, like, I understand people hate Colby because of the gimmicky, sticky shit, but I think he's fucking funny. I enjoy him, and that guy can fight. I think that Mayweather's the guy, right? I guess some people.
This is going to be a big deal, man, because you got Jake, if I'm correct, Jake is fighting Ben, while his brother Logan is fucking going to go to WrestleMania. So, I mean, it's a big deal for the Paul brothers right now, man. Those guys are rocking and rolling.
Could you imagine being Charlotte Flair, side note, and you take a pregnancy test. You go to take a test. You're just doing the usual protocol that you do when you're a pro wrestler, and they go, congratulations, you're pregnant, right? And I mean, we're not women, but we can understand being fathers, how these women go through emotions when they find out they're pregnant, right? And so they pull her off of the WrestleMania posters. They pull her off of all these financial opportunities, right? Financial opportunities at WrestleMania are the biggest for any pro wrestler. She's flushed them, right? We're talking tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds. And like 48 hours later, she's like, I'm going to just go buy 5 pregnancy tests and piss on them all. And they all come back negative. And then she goes back to the doctor. The doctor's like, yeah, my bad. So what had happened was... like that's something that seriously happened in pro wrestling like 2 weeks ago. Like that shit really just happened. Like Charlotte Flair just got fucked out of $100,000 opportunity, upwards of $100,000 opportunity, wrestling on the biggest stage. Wrestling on the biggest stage, WrestleMania. Everybody knows who the fuck WrestleMania, what the fuck WrestleMania is. Doesn't matter why you're listening to this podcast, you know what WrestleMania is. She was robbed of that opportunity. And guess what? These girl wrestlers, they're not like The Undertaker. They're not like Brock Lesnar. They're not going to be in 15 fucking WrestleManias. They're in like 6. And that's it. That's fucking it. And you're out. And you're fucking having babies. You're doing other shit. You moved on to other opportunities. You become the Bella Twins if you're lucky. fucking. All right. So that tangent is over. We have, I believe, 5 to 10 minutes before we're supposed to call the great Justin Von Doom. So let's hop into this. The NCAA Final Four. We tweeted a little. We tweeted a little bit about this. All right, the Final Four, the championship. Our brackets are busted. If you listen to us talk about this last week, we did talk a lot about the pressure, the absolute pressure that is on an undefeated team, and the history, and all the lore, and all the things that come with being an undefeated team. So the first actual buzzer beater game that's kind of been talked about ad nauseum, right? There's, I don't know if there's anything we can add there, Chess, but there was a tweet you sent out earlier this week that I thought was it, or a few days ago, which was interesting, where you're saying, I believe that's one of the biggest shots in the history of the NCAA Final Four lore. And you think that might fall in like the top 5. And others would argue differently, and some would argue differently because they didn't ultimately finish the job. They didn't win the championship. What do you think in there? Give us, expand, please.
I just think that college basketball is different. The NBA, once you're in the NBA, you're there for life. You're there for, you know, you can have a 10, 15, 20-year career. Who knows? You can win a lot of championships. You can go to a lot of all-star games. You can do a lot of cool things. You can hit a lot of cool buzzer beaters. But in college, you have 2 to 4 years, depending on if you leave early or if you stay till you're a senior. Suggs was a senior, and that shot was capped off by the fact that that game was so amazing from start to finish.
It was dope.
Such a great college basketball game. All these kids, they left it out there. They left their hearts out on the floor that night, and Suggs ends up with what? It was like 3 seconds left. Takes it from just maybe 10, 15 feet before half court, launches just, you know, a prayer, and just banks that baby. Banks that bitch in. Everybody goes nuts. Zags win. Undefeated streak still alive. And then just like the mighty Undertaker himself, speaking of WrestleMania,
it is.
All streaks come to an end.
Oh,
all
I love that.
To an end. But that
it'll live in history. It'll live. But you hate to say, is it an asterisk shot? Because you can't put an asterisk on the shot itself. It was a fucking incredible moment in basketball history.
Exactly.
But we're always going to go, but. We're always going to go, but is the problem, Jess. We're always going to go, but they didn't win the championship.
We're such a but society.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Asshole. That's a good point.
You're talking about an 18-year-old kid who just hit a fucking 55-foot shot.
I don't know. It was 55 feet. Jesus Christ.
What is it, like 40 feet?
I think it was like 28, but okay. It's okay.
No way. It was a big shot.
It's a huge shot. No, it's a huge shot.
I'm trying to get the lore even more.
You just made it double the size, but go ahead.
He down the court. He was in the parking lot.
He hit it.
And he just threw that big.
I mean, he hit an 85-foot shot with 4 guys hanging on him. and his offhand shot. But other than that, it was, you know, but
speaking of the asterisk, that's right. So that's how I came across why I sent my tweet out, because somebody was saying, hey, man, that shot doesn't mean shit because they lost the game. But you go tell that kid. You, Mr. fucking big shot, fucking I work at fucking, you know, whatever.
You're going to pick on somebody.
I work at Walmart.
Don't pick on Walmart workers. How dare you?
I am going to pick on Walmart. They're giants. Yeah. They have all the everything in the world.
Walmart workers are fucking Walmart, always busy. They're too busy to help me. I'll tell you that.
They are.
You know what I don't like about Walmart?
You go tell that kid. Hey, man, your shot don't mean jack shit, buddy, because you lost the championship game. You go do that. You grow a pair that big, and you go tell that kid that.
Walmart worker. Why do they –
Chevron gas station pump attendant.
Why do they lock the fish bait behind the locks at the Walmart that I go to? People still fish bait now? Like, I get they still formula and shit like that, but people still like fish bait now? Fish bait and fish hooks are so valuable that people are stealing that shit now?
Hey, shout out real quick to Walmart workers.
There you go.
Thank you all for doing what you do every day. I appreciate you. When I come in, you serve me with a smile most.
Nah,
of the time.
I'm the opposite. The Walmart you go to is dope because I'm the opposite.
My Walmart. Is
I'm gonna
dope.
Go
my
heal Walmart's on your awesome. Ass.
Jay,
I'm gonna go heal on these Walmart fuckers. Just like yeah, I'm gonna. You know what? Every time I go into Walmart, everyone looks like they're in a bad mood, and I get it. Right? Sometimes our jobs are shitty. I don't want to say my job is shitty, but sometimes it doesn't matter where you work at. Right? Sometimes your just job is shitty. Life's not going the best, right? Sometimes you got a bad day, right? Your kids are yelling at you. Your wife's yelling at you. You fucking stub your toe. Had a bad workout, right? Didn't get that good pump. Whatever's going on. Sometimes you have a bad day. We all have bad days. You know what? Fucking suck it up, buttercup. Put a fake smile on your face and handle your business and customer service. Help me out. You know, I went to Walmart and I would try to buy my kid one of those stuffed chairs. I got the 18-month-old. You stick them on a stuffed chair, right? Yeah. She goes, there's no tag to scan this. So you got to go back and get one. I got to go back and get one, babe. I don't have the fucking blue vest on. You got the blue vest on. You go fucking get one.
The audacity.
I'm telling you, your Walmart's a lot nicer than mine because the people in my Walmart, maybe they're overworked and underpaid. I mean, it is Walmart. We're fucked.
The people at my Walmart are mostly white.
I think that, my Walmart is all about equality, and we'll leave it at that. Mi gente, all mi gente is in that motherfucker. Hey, I'll tell you, and then one more thing about Walmart. I think that the Walmart that I shop at was like a hotspot for COVID. So, if 50% of the employees got COVID and hated their fucking lives and took it home and, you know, fuck their, who knows? Who knows, Jess? I get it, all right? Not everybody's job is great, all right? Let's put a smile on our face and let's work through the day. Whether you're working at McDonald's, whether you're working in a high-rise corporation, Fortune 50 company, in the prison, you know, if you're serving us. What did Trump used to say? You know, we have the best, Jess. We have the best firefighters, the best police, the best nurses, the best doctors. America's got the best. By the way, we should talk about the championship game. Can I give you my quick analysis? I mean, it's pretty.
Yeah. I just sent the message to JD.
All right, beautiful.
So
all
he's
right.
probably going to pick him, up here. Okay, go ahead right. and talk.
Hey, you ever been to a high school game and you see the varsity team playing a team that has too many junior varsity guys on it?
Oh, are you seriously going to – this is your team?
Yeah. I mean, it was big. It was just a lot of big boys. There's a lot of big hosses against a lot of guys that were not big hosses. And within 3 to 4 minutes when it was like 11-4 or 19-7 or whatever it was, you go, wow, these guys have big bodies that are rebounding, that are boxing out, old-fashioned college basketball, doing their part, contributing, if you will. And Gonzaga's got nothing for these big body guys. They're just getting roughed up. I heard, I don't know if it was someone fucking around on Twitter or not, but I saw a tweet where a guy went, yeah, you know, these bigs, they work out with the Baylor football team. I don't know if it's a joke or not, but I believe it. I'm like, these are some big hosses.
Hey, I'm not even gonna shit you right now. I can't remember the dude's name. I think his number was 45. His thighs.
What you're implying is he's a big hoss.
He is a big. They all. I was looking at this game. Everybody at my work's like jumping on watching this game, and I just noticed like. And we brought it up the week before when we were talking about the championship game, picking Baylor, by the way, little throw out there. We did pick Baylor. We won. I said, I believe you agree with me, that Baylor's power and aggressiveness and physicality is going to play a huge part. And then this is what happened. UCLA comes to town. They play the shit out of the Zags. The Zags win a crazy emotional game. Now you get to the point where you're just fucking exhausted.
Which happens.
And they looked, their legs looked tired. They were not as crisp. Their passing lanes were cut short again due to the physicality of Baylor and their big men. I mean, shit, man, Baylor was playing like two and three centers at a time. I'd never seen anything like that in my life in basketball at all, let alone college basketball, where you're playing two to three centers on the court. And these guys are—they're up plus, and down just like
plus
a guard.
11,
absolutely amazing.
Plus 11 in offensive rebounds, by the way, and plus 14 in overall rebounds if you need it from Baylor.
Yeah,
that's a difference.
Baylor, at halftime. Oh, JVD says I have the app. I am waiting on you.
Text them,
buddy. Come on down. Come on down, buddy.
Sending it. I'm waiting for my phone to show that there's someone's entered the chat, staring at it.
Look at this. This all is going to have to be edited.
That's
now.
Okay.
Look at this. We're not live.
That's kind of the cool thing about this. We're just basically, right when he pops on, just wrap the, well, I guess we'll just like talk to him for 30 seconds and then we can just seamlessly wrap the basketball. Like, cut all this shit out and then go right, like, all right, yeah. So we just finished talking about the Final Four, and now here's our guest. Exactly. That's how you would – I would guess that's how you do it, right?
That's the play, man. I can edit
it. I had all my Watson shit up, and I think I fucking closed it on accident because I wanted to look at stats for Baylor basketball. All right, here we are. Tell him to click the fucking text. My man can't click the fucking text.
I'm telling him, just follow the link, bro.
I think what happens is everyone starts to like, I'm going to look. I'm going to keep looking on the app. I'm just searching you on the app. Yep. Uh-oh, there we go.
No!
Fucking now we're cooking.
We got it. Woo! We're partying now. All right, JVD, we're going to wrap up basketball, college basketball, then we're going to jump on and we're going to introduce you and then move into, anything. Texans, Watson, him touching people at massage parlors. Oh, maybe we can even tie this in with Bob
Kraft. I don't even think he was touching people. I think that, like, he was humping the air. Like, how deep do you want me to go here? I have some details.
No, we're going far.
I'm so excited to hear your voice. I'm humping the air right now.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm hard. So...
Oh, hey, by the way, I just I was in Corvallis.
Lucky.
I drove past the Angry Beaver, and I thought of
it. Did you get out and immediately fall to the ground?
No.
That's where you fell, wasn't it?
I was just driving. It was around the corner from
the
Angry
Beaver.
This is
the most confusing moment of my life.
I'm upset that I wasn't able to get Jesse drunk enough to where he fell.
Dude, he was sober.
Really fucking
hammered.
Dude, he was sober.
We were.
What happened?
I was. Yeah.
Guess what happened?
That's the problem. Is I was stone sober.
Blow your fucking ACL out.
My fucking MCL just under the pressure.
Jesus Christ.
We went into a dispensary, and I think that may have done it.
Oh no.
I smelled weed and CBD.
We looked at a menu and that was it for him.
Didn't you buy like a sticker? Or
no,
something?
They gave us. I still have it. They gave us those little coasters.
Oh, cool. Coasters, yeah. That's right.
Dispensaries are always good with the freebies. They're like, yeah, here it is. We're fucking hippies. We love giving out free shit.
We
just
walked in.
And
we were like, we have no clue what we're doing in here. Just so you guys. I mean, like they didn't know.
And they're like, oh, it's okay. I'm a butt tender. I'm used to doing this. What are you looking for?
They were like, well, here's the menu.
Hey, the hotel that that Justin was staying at, though, had some of the most comfortable fucking chairs in the waiting room.
Dude, it got better. When I went back, like, a few months later, it had improved even more. Like, that little Starbucks in the lobby was, like, 24 hours.
I can't.
I love Corvallis.
I'm just shocked. Did Jesse, did you take, like, a CBD gummy, and now you're like, man, these chairs are the best chairs I've ever sat in. You're just like, you're I'm just fucking over. Melting in the chair.
I'm like, these chairs are the best fucking
thing. You're vibing with that hotel
dude,
chair.
I have a picture of him vibing with that chair.
Hell yeah.
It's big vibes. Justin, do you want us to address you, because we're going to edit after this shit out right now. Do you want us to address you like as your legal name, like Justin Chasteen?
Oh yeah, you
want
can.
To plug your book, or do you? Want
oh, to... I don't have right, I don't have a book to plug. I'm still writing okay. it, so like you guys can just address me as Justin Chasteen, whatever. It doesn't matter.
All right, I'm trying to. Get
yeah,
it
there's
clean.
There's no like formalities okay. at this point. So
all right, okay, all right, we're yeah. good. All right, so Jesse, for editing purposes, finish like clean. Like okay, now we're going from basketball.
I'll clean
yeah, go
up,
from
don't
basketball
worry.
To. Introducing our guest, please.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our guest is here. Again, as I said at the beginning of the show, he is not just a guest. He is a friend of the show. He is a personal friend of mine. He is a personal friend of Jay's. This man has watched me stumble and fall stone sober. It is amazing. I only wish we had camera phones going at that time. But then again, maybe I don't wish that. Ladies and gentlemen, our good friend, Justin Chasteen.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
It is fantastic to have you on. I think it's great that you have a story of Jesse sober stumbling, and I have a story of Jesse absolutely plastered drunk, but he didn't fall. We just stumbled into an incredible burrito place, and
It was incredible.
We had enormous burritos after our podcast, but that was the old drinking days. I think we drank like an 18 pack. It was we drank a lot.
At least
we
it
were
was a lot.
Getting fucking wild.
Was that the time you guys did the podcast in person and you got smashed
yes.
and you tried to grill and just gave up on it?
That's exactly what happened.
I remember that story.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah,
that is exactly
I don't forget
what
a story.
I think it was chicken or it was pork. I wish I could remember, but.
Was
my wife wasn't happy about it. Monday. I would say my wife, yikes, my ex at the time. Edit that out, right?
It's funny.
Wow.
Hey, so there's the edit button. We just click it there, and then we just take that right out, and then we're back in the game. So
I think the first time I did this show was almost 10 years ago. That's what I was wondering. Yeah, we did a pod. It wasn't even a podcast then. It was just a live radio show, and it was us and a couple other people, and we were talking about – it was mostly just MMA based, and we talked about MMA for like 2 hours. I think we were talking about like it may have been Overeem, what it would be like if he went to like the UFC or something. This was back when Overeem was like destroying the world. So,
in Strikeforce or some shit.
Yeah, it was like literally like 10 years ago. So
I've
been on here.
We were
a
like,
few
imagine
times.
If he fought Brock Lesnar.
Oh man, yeah,
we were doing that
on
thing.
Steroids.
Look, Justin and I did a show. I'm pretty sure, because again, this is back in the drinking days. Justin and I did a show with Lynn Hart, the screaming lady from Pride. I think that was a very special show.
This is incredible.
That was, let's see, Owen, my oldest son's 8, and he wasn't born yet, so that was about 9 years ago.
Jesus.
I know.
The last show that I remember doing with Justin, I believe, had to be at least 6 years ago, because this is when I was at the apartment right before I stopped drinking. And you came on and we did either – I think we did an AFC-NFC pick.
We did.
I think you did the AFC and somebody else did the NFC.
Yeah, that's right. Was it Chris? Is that his name?
It might have been Chris.
XY, the music guy.
It might have been
the
Chris.
Guy who I said he would be my GM if I was an owner.
Yes, he's
yeah.
proud of that.
I think he did. We weren't on at the same time though. You guys did AFC with me, and then he was on like the next episode. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Split it. We'd split them because when we would do those over-unders and shit like that, they would those were two-hour shows for just the 15, one side of the AFC, one side of the NFC. It was because you would just get into one team and spend 10 minutes on them. And then you get into another team and just start shooting the shit about it. It'd be 5 minutes. And then before you know it, it'd be like, damn, we haven't even got out of the NFC South and we've just spent a half an hour on this.
Well, yeah, because so Jesse would make us talk about the Bills for like 4 hours.
There'd be that. There'd be overabsorption of that. I'd do a lot of Cowboy stuff. We would do our sexy teams, our non-sexy teams. You're like, oh, Browns under. Go ahead, just keep it moving. Oh, yeah. This team under, keep it moving.
I would break down like Case Keenum film for like 3 hours on why he shouldn't be benched and stuff. It was just bad. It was bad radio, really. We shouldn't have done that.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was great for us.
None of that's bad.
It was bad.
We got our reps in. Jesse would tell you it was fantastic radio because we were getting 3 times the listeners as opposed to now where we're still just trying to pick up listeners. Like we're still trying to figure out how to get the show back out there and get exposure. Like
we were getting several thousand. Retired and you both became grandpas or something, didn't you?
Jesse became a grandpa. Jesse did. I became a dad again.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You rebooted and Jesse became a grandpa. That's right.
It's terrible. Kids are. How old is your youngest? Because you got one that's like around the same age as my youngest. How old is your youngest?
He's 3.
God, that's not even close. That's a nightmare.
That's awful. Yeah. It's.
How much shit do your kids break on the average?
I would say if he gets a new toy, he breaks it within a 48-hour period.
Do your kids fight over video games a lot, or what are your kids fighting over? Because you got the two middle, the boys that are older. What are they fighting over?
Whatever the other one has.
There it is. That's how it works. That's beautiful.
Jesus yeah, even Christ. Like the 8-year-old will like want what the 3-year-old has, and I'll be like, dude, what? You have like a Nintendo Switch. What could you possibly want with this dollar bucket of slime? Like, what is wrong with you?
It's got glitter, Dad. You're not seeing the fucking glitter in there, Dad. It's all that's wild with the glitter. I need that. Fuck that Switch. So, kids are awesome and beautiful, but they're also annoying as hell. Let me tell you, I don't sleep anymore. It's the fucking worst. And my kid's doing that thing now where the crib wall is gone, right? Oh, God. So now he just comes in and out of the crib as he wants. So he'll roll right into my bed, and I'll sleep through it. And then before you know it, I wake up, and it's like I'm covered in piss because he didn't get changed in the middle of the night.
Oh my God!
So I'm doing that. So yeah,
I can't stand diapers. The diaper stage is that was.
So if you guys are looking for birth control, if our listeners are looking for birth control, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to come a point where your kid you can't have the crib wall up anymore because they can crawl over it. They could just fucking fly over it. They go over it like Batman. So my kid hops over that crib wall now like a gang member over a metal fence. It's incredible. So, and then he slides in the bed, no, on the slide, none of us feel it. And then it's like two, three hours later, it's like, oh, where the fuck did he come from? Thank God I didn't roll him over. Oh, he didn't get changed. And now I'm covered in piss. Honey, please wake up. It's good times. So that's my birth control for our younger individuals, our millennials.
That was enough birth control story for everyone out there.
By the way, Justin, thank you for sending that photo of Jesse, the most chill individual.
He was in that chair.
Dude, this is a vibe. I'm
telling you, that chair was
Why
amazing.
Are you sipping on a water right here? Because you're just feeling it?
That was, I don't think that was a water. That was some sort of vodka thing or something. He was,
he was booze at that point.
It was a vodka soda.
He was ready to go. Like when I went downstairs in Corvallis, he was waiting. He was ready.
Jesse's
like food Jesse's came last. Yeah.
Jesse is ready to roll. Let me tell you, on the ray. He's ready. All right. So here's something that I brought up on the pre-show that I wanted to bring up while you're on the air. Watching you as a fan of the Texans the past 4 to 6 months has been an incredible experiment because their downward spiral plus your fandom, it's a unique mix, right? You've kind of went up and down, which is what we do as fans, right? We run hot and cold. You've done the, hey man, I'm loyal to my guy. There's no chance they're trading them. Fuck you guys.
I was loyal. I was ride or die.
You've also went hey, I'm drawing the line in the sand. If you guys trade him, I'm out. I'll find a fucking another team. I'll start rooting for the Titans, I think. I don't remember the team you picked. Maybe it was the Titans.
No, it was not. I would never. It would never. I hate Mike Vrabel. I hate Bud Adams. I'm glad he's dead. I would never root for the Titans. That's like, no, come on. That's like you saying you'd root for the Giants. Come on, man.
All right, well, yeah, that's a good point. All right. I would never. So, well, who was it? Who was the team you said you were going to root for? Who was it?
I said I would root where Watson went, probably. That was one of the options.
That's loyalty. Jesus, Jesse. Because
they wouldn't trade him to a division rival. They wouldn't even trade him to the AFC. So, like, I mean, if he went to the Jets, I would probably root for the Jets. I have no issues. I mean, if he went to San Fran, I mean, I guess I could stomach that. I don't know. It was either go with Watson or just don't root for a team and just watch football.
I mean, if you gamble, it works. Just for gambling purposes.
I don't know. I mean, it got to the point where, like, I got so fed up with the Easterby McNair stuff that the media created on their own. Turns out that I actually removed Houston Texans from my Twitter bio, which had been there since 2009, which is a big deal.
That's rough. That's rough.
Yeah.
That's
rough. Like, I told Ryan, you guys remember Ryan Carlos, who's on a Twitter sabbatical. I mean, he's Houston Texans for life too. I told him, he didn't believe it.
So, I would never take hashtag Demnation out of my Warriors, out of my bio. I just couldn't see doing it. I've changed that bio.
Point, I was just like, I can't.
Are you going to take hashtag Bills Mafia out of your bio, even though Josh Allen is now kind of like half ass non-vax? No chance.
You guys have had franchise quarterbacks before, though. We never have. We never have. And we did.
Well, I had one back in 2000.
He took you to four Super Bowls.
Yeah,
yours
like
took you to four Super Bowls. I don't want to hear
you're talking like 93 to 95 now.
Yeah. I don't care what year. You and the Cowboys were great at the same time, pretty much. And that was the last time. So it's
the Cowboys
counts.
Have lucked out. The Cowboys have really lucked the fuck out in having franchise quarterbacks. I mean, Romo. You go back before Staubach. I'm not talking Staubach. You know what I mean? Jeez. Like, they have had a really lucky run of having guys. You know what I mean? There was that slight tenure era was like Quincy Carter and Bledsoe and guys like that. But then, as you mentioned, you had the Aikman and then you had the Romo and now you got the Dak. Like they're pretty lucky now. Just, you know.
I think Romo was a huge, huge win. Like that was a lot of just luck. Like that was great. That I think Romo was awesome.
Well, that's a Jerry Jones special. That's a Bill Parcells special. That's a, hey, this guy might have something there. These guys talk to this guy, talk to that guy. Parcells doing that old Italian gangster
together.
Shit.
Yeah.
He couldn't win a championship. Well, like, a problem. That's it.
Well, that's not that fucking so much though. Crap, you know, waiting for a good quarterback. And then we finally got one. Like, I swear to God, Watson was the type of quarterback. After watching him this season where they won four games, but Watson could have won 11 games if the defense could have just stopped somebody on fourth down. Watson was winning games with no offense whatsoever. I mean, guys would get hurt, get suspended, get traded. Watson was still winning games with 2 minutes left. It was crazy. And then they would blow it. Like, I swear to God, that guy's if he does end up playing somewhere, he's going to win that team a Super Bowl. So, like, you guys saw him against the Bills in the playoffs. The shit he does.
I think that's the game.
It's incredible.
I think that's the game. Really what happens with his career, right? Where we look back now, as of now, like, let's say he never plays another football game again. God forbid, right? I mean, who fucking knows at this point what's going on? But they'll always look at that game and go, man, look at what this kid did. It kind of reminds me of the Vic versus Green Bay game where everybody goes, man, look what Vic did in that fucking game. Where you went, man, the upside potential of this guy, who knows? And that was one of those games where, like you mentioned, same thing. Their defense just fucking couldn't stop a nosebleed, if you will, the old Bart Scott.
No, and that was, you know, bad. Like Andre Johnson said, it's a bad organization. But if he plays again, and I'm sure he will, he's going to win that. And GMs know this. He's going to win whatever team he plays for. He'll win them a Super Bowl. He's a guaranteed Super Bowl. That's why before all this stuff started with the misconduct, my thing was, if and I know Caserio, the GM, felt the same way, that he was, when he said he wasn't going to trade Deshaun Watson, he was serious. Like, he had, he wasn't even taking calls. He wasn't going to trade him. He was going to let Watson sit. He was not going to trade Deshaun Watson because he knew that that guy's going to win a Super Bowl. So my whole thing was, if you're going to trade Deshaun Watson, you trade him for a first-round pick for every year that he is on the team that you trade him to. That's your
I've,
deal.
I've heard this take, and while, while some would say it's ludicrous, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
Is it worth a Super Bowl? To some teams, it may be.
That's the thought process.
If you got a good GM that can draft deep, I mean, I think there's your Super Bowl.
I think the sell, if you're trying to trade him, the sell is, yeah, we want everything. We want first round picks for the next 3 years. We want picks for the next 5 years. We'd like something in that top 100. So maybe a third round pick in 5 years. They were the Godfather offer is specifically what it is. I want to talk about some of the allegations, of course, but right now, just your gut feeling. Give me a percentage. What is the percentage chance that you think that he plays a game for the Texans again? I'm not even talking this season. Just say again. Ever? Yeah.
I'll say probably zero. Okay, well, zero is a pretty...
Yeah, zero is like he's already off the fucking team.
Well, based on how the team is handled, there's not a lot of bad character people that have ever played for the Texans. Ever. Can you name one troubled player that's ever played for the Texans? They've stayed away from him. I mean, Andre Johnson beating the crap out of Cortland Finnegan is about as dirty as we get, and everybody loved that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think most people would give that a pass.
We've never had players get in trouble with the law. I can't think of any. They've always been a character team. They've never signed guys with character issues. They've never brought them in for workouts. And that's not just O'Brien. O'Brien actually really didn't care about that stuff. It's more the owner. Kubiak never did that stuff. So now with McNair and Easterby, his new buddy, who's a team, you know, a children's pastor, who is now head of football operations pretty much, which is an embarrassment. Caserio, they're just letting Caserio do what he learned how to do in New England. And if a guy is a man of faith, that's a bonus. Like, I noticed I follow Caserio's burner account, and I know a lot of people laugh at that, but I'm 100% convinced that this is Nick Caserio's burner account. I've sent it to you guys.
Yeah.
And the other day he tweeted about Justin Fields, how, like, he's a great prospect and somebody's going to really land early with him and knock it out of the park. And he's also a man of faith. I'm seeing this a lot with Texans tweets and stuff now. Man of faith, new coach, man of faith. So with these allegations, even the fact that it's come out that some of these are consensual, and a lot of women have come out and said that they've had consensual relationships with Deshaun Watson, who publicly has a girlfriend that he's pretty much engaged to, who's also very popular. I don't see them sticking with that, putting up with the drama, the tarnished name of an already embarrassed organization. I think as soon as they can get a couple first round picks for him, whether it's today or a year from now, they'll do it.
See, Jess, my assumption is one of two things here. That teams either don't want to touch him now and they're just afraid of, what if he's out for 4 games, 8 games? What if he's out for a year? What if the NFL says, hey, we're just going to sit you out until we get all this shit figured out, and this is going to drag out through an entire year? So if that's why he hasn't been traded yet, or if the Texans are just, as we've discussed on this show, lying in the sand, we're not trading them. And not only that, we're thinking maybe we can be that team that rehabilitates him, rehabilitates the image, does it through faith, possibly. Justin, that's one angle. Jess, what are you thinking here in some of the stuff you're hearing?
Deshaun Watson, I believe, was a league leader in
4,800 thrown yards.
So absolutely crushed it, even though he's with a very, you know, low caliber in, as far as talent goes, team, and still crushed it. Then the offseason comes, and he's talking about, hey, man, look, you traded DeAndre. You traded, you got rid of JJ. Now that's my final straw. I'm out. And then all of a sudden, all these allegations come. I'm going to go conspiracy theorist and say, I wouldn't be surprised if there was something behind all that.
Yeah, same.
Just out of the blue, all of a sudden you get one, and then two, and then five, and now it's like, what, Justin? What's it up to?
22 or 16? 22. I think it's 22.
Insanity happens as soon as Deshaun starts, you know, flexing on the organization, saying, hey, you know what? I'm not playing another game. Casario comes over. He says, hey, man, let's start over fresh. Don't worry. I'm going to do things right by you. Deshaun says, no, man, I told you. I don't care who the GM is. I don't care who the owner is. I don't care what's happening. I'm done. And then all of a sudden, the allegations come. That's one thought was just, who planted these women?
That's what I thought at first.
Because it makes sense. That's just absolutely crazy.
See, especially because the lawyer is the owner's next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm. This is but where it gets tricky.
Now the lawyer's talking about.
Yeah, here we go.
The lawyer's saying that he also may have allegations saying the Texans knew about it and covered it up. So, like, this is like a freaking.
It's an episode of Dallas. It's like an old episode of Dallas. See, this is where we want to walk a thin line as males, right, Justin? Going there now, because we don't want to look like heartless males and just your regular sports fan and other podcasts that are going, well, we don't trust these women. Well, what about these allegations? These women can't be trusted. Well, the same woman that's on television that's crying is the same woman that was saying, hey, send me a little something under the table and I'll make this go away. So this is where we walk that thin line, right? Because we don't want to sound like assholes. Jesse, you know, this is a father of a daughter. You don't want to sound like you don't have empathy for these women.
You don't want to come out sounding misogynistic. You want to be able to take both roads. So here's another thought. These women, a lot of them that have been interviewed, you know, they do look emotionally beat up. A lot has been going on. A lot has been happening. I'm not going to say money's being passed around from one hand to another without facts behind that. But I will say this. If this has happened, and seeing how we're still in the process of figuring out exactly what happened and how many times it happened, and hell, why it even happened, NFL teams around the league are salivating because money wins over everything. And right now, Deshaun Watson's price tag is plummeting. Mm. Okay? This is where another thing happens. Now, if you're Houston, you almost can't afford to trade this guy. You're going to have teams trying to downplay Deshaun and be like, hey, man, we'll take him. We'll give you a fourth, a fifth, and a third from next year.
But we're taking the PR nightmare. Taking the PR nightmare as the spin that you're putting on.
Exactly. And so what ends up happening is now all these teams around the league are salivating to try to get Deshaun at a discounted price because of what's happening, which is, again, another, you know, it's a shame that this is all happening at all.
So see, Justin.
I will say biasly, let me tell you biasly, I am happy because I thought that for a fact that he was going to go to the New York Jets. And I was seriously super scared about that happening. So thank you, Deshaun, for having a lot of bad shit happen to you.
The Jets are a worse organization than the Texans, though. He would have failed there, too.
Which is saying something, because they really are.
Yeah.
So see, Justin, this is where it gets tricky, though. Because do you want to follow the breadcrumbs where you go, hey, you know what?
The first thing I thought when this initially happened was, oh, this has Easterby and McNair written all over it.
Exactly.
You know, they're just bitter. They want him to go down as he goes out. But, you know.
Okay, so do you take that bread trail or that those breadcrumbs and go, no. You know what? Or do you take the opposite one and go, you know what, man? Where there's smoke, there's fire. When he goes from 5 to 10 to 15 to 20, all their stories are the same. My man's humping the air. He's he's dry humping like a chihuahua and eat. So there's all these stories that are all kind of within the same vein. So it's difficult, right? Because
the sexual pattern's the same.
Crazy, there's nothing different or elaborate. He's doing the same thing.
It's not painful abuse, but it's like weird abuse. But did you guys read the Sports Illustrated article interview with one of the women who did not go to the lawyer?
That's a telling one, though.
That's the one that changed my mind.
Yeah, those are the telling ones. Those are the ones that make you think, hey, maybe Deshaun's a little bit of an entitled athlete. Weirdo. Or an entitled athlete who's never been told no is a horned up dude that has gotten away with it so many fucking times throughout his life, whether he was in high school or in college or wherever he's getting away with it at, that it's just accepted in his mind that he can do it and he's never going to get in trouble for it. And now all of a sudden there's 2 girls, 4 girls, 6, 10 girls going, wait a minute, you two? Wait a minute, you two? It's like the Bill Cosby thing. Wait a minute. You got fucked up and got drugged and got finger banged, blasted too? Holy smokes. Oh, me too. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wait a minute. So he was dry humping the air with you. Then my man had a boner. He had a little bit of fucking pre-kiss.
She was very specific about a lot of things that happen with men in certain situations. She was very specific about a lot of the pattern things that other women had said. She didn't want money. She wanted him to get help. So what does she have to gain from going to Sports Illustrated? Somebody paid her to go do that and say that?
Nothing. Absolutely. I mean, you got it. Can we go Easter Bee in the Shadows, giving her an envelope to go, hey, go to Sports Illustrated and be this person? I mean, again,
he's not really a man of God.
This is when we start to really go, you know, QAnon on the fucking old thing, which we're not going to do here. But let me say this. I want you to talk a little bit about Easter Bee because we've mentioned him 5, 6, 7 times. But for the people that are listening to the show that aren't as familiar with Easter Bee, talk a little bit about how he got into the organization. Because it's not like a traditional football guy who was a coach here or was an assistant here or was the son of a guy. He was just the religious guy that kind of parlayed the shit out of it.
Yeah. This is a guy that left when O'Brien was fired. He left pretty much with a knife in his back that had Easterby's name on it, which is crazy. So Easterby started out as a team chaplain, and I believe he didn't even start out with the Patriots. He started out with the Jaguars for 1 year as just the team chaplain, which I guess a lot of teams have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. All teams should have them. For guys who need him, mm-hmm. I guess.
No, great.
Anyone who's ever used Jack Easterby as a character coach or a chaplain has a great relationship with him. I know Casario has a great relationship with him. Belichick has a great relationship with him as a man of faith, as that type of person. He worked with the Patriots for several years as a team chaplain, this and that. And then when O'Brien came to Houston, he was from New England for a while, and he brought over Easterby, and Easterby started working on some things outside of chaplain stuff. He started working on some salary cap stuff and working with players, and I guess started working on some football personnel stuff, which to me is crazy. I guess it wasn't that crazy to O'Brien. And from what I can tell, he did a really good job in that small role. And then he just kept working his way up, working his way up, working away. And as O'Brien worked his way up and
he needed a guy.
He needed a guy. And Easterby seems like a pretty – he's kind of like Grima Wormtongue from Lord of the Rings, if you're familiar. You know, he's kind of poisoned the mind of a lot of people, of the owner. He's in his ear. But he, as O'Brien rose, so did he, and he latched on. And, you know, I guess, so you remember the tampering stuff that happened 2 years ago or whatever with Casario. That was Easterby, who went back to the Patriots for the ring ceremony because Easterby was part of that. And he got caught talking to Casario about coming over and being our GM. You know, they fired their current GM the next day because they thought that they were just going to be able to sign Casario because he wasn't a full GM. He was an assistant GM. Well, they didn't know in the paperwork that that couldn't happen. So they had to promote O'Brien because they just went ahead and fired. I forget the guy's name. He's with the Jets now. Probably wasn't a bad GM. He just, you know,
the wrong O'Brien. Place, wrong time.
O'Brien was the GM, and he just bit off way more than he can chew. In this past season, they lost 4 games in a row. I guess the third game, there was a screaming match between J.J. Watt and O'Brien and the defensive coordinator, and Easterby was snaking his way around. And I don't know if you guys read the article in Sports Illustrated about Jack Easterby, but I guess Easterby was talking to some big names about, you know, well, how would you feel if O'Brien was gone?
Wow.
And pretty much got the blessing of, they didn't list any names, but it sounds like 2 of the bigger names in the organization, but I don't know who for sure. That they made it sound like Watson and Watt, but Watson was an O'Brien guy, so I don't believe that. And O'Brien was fired, it sounds like, because Jack Easterby was in the owner's ear. And then Jack Easterby was made temporary GM magically.
It's incredible.
So, and then
sometimes it'd be your own people.
To make it even more interesting, they were going to hire, through this GM search where they hired all these guys to do this stuff, they were going to hire the salary cap guy from the Steelers. And then on a Sunday, Jack Easterby showed up to Cal McNair's house and pretty much threw a Hail Mary and got Casario hired that day.
Incredible. So,
saved his own job, pretty much. Which I'm still fine with because I like Casario, but I guess they were pretty much drafting the paperwork to hire that guy from, like, that it was already done, I guess. And just burning bridges, this freaking snake of a man. So I'll never be pro Easterby. That's why Andre Johnson quit working with the team. He just pretty much said in an interview with Chad Johnson's podcast last week that he's not a football guy. He knows nothing about football, and he couldn't be around it anymore. He was sick of non-football guys running football teams. So
this is where it gets interesting.
That's it. That's who's running the Texans.
This is where it gets interesting because, as I said, this isn't a football mind guy. This isn't a Shanahan's kid that's just been raised around football. And although he's been around football for a while, so he kind of gets it. I mean, you can have a fucking fry cook around a chef for a year. That doesn't mean all of a sudden he's going to be a chef. He's still a fucking fry cook. Shout out to Jay Rollins. How you doing, guy? So I don't know what we do here. I'm interested in what your thought is in regards to what happens next. What do they do next in regards to the QB position? Do they run who they have there now? What's the anticipation? I mean, I know we still got some draft. But what are you thinking here?
Oh gosh. Okay, so we got Tyrod Taylor.
Don't sound so disappointed, man. Yeah. I love Tyrod.
He's still got time.
I love his attitude.
Thank you.
But like, I mean, we had Deshaun Watson. Now we're talking about Tyrod Taylor, and we're talking about we got that kid from Cincinnati who I actually enjoyed watching last year. You know, being here in Ohio, we see a lot of Bengals games. Finley, I mean, he beat the Steelers with a banged up Bengals squad, but I thought the Bengals were really competitive this past year. A lot of people didn't see that, but the Bengals were really close in a lot of games, and I thought their quarterback room was really impressive from all 3 of their quarterbacks. So we got this Finley kid. I don't think we have AJ McCarron anymore, but I never saw anything. He never got to play really. So I know obviously from Casario's burner account, which I promise you it's him. He likes Justin Fields, but there's no way that they're going to get him. They got no draft picks because of the Tunsil trade, which I'm pro Tunsil. I'm pro him and his weed mask. I think that's
it's classic.
One of the coolest things ever. But
he's had a great career, but it sucks that that's what he's going to be remembered by.
Dude, people rag on him for that trade, giving up 2 first-round picks. But that guy's given up, I think, 1 sack in the 2 years that we've had him, and no pressures aside from that 1 sack. The guy is a beast.
He's had a great career,
and he's worth. He is worth those picks, and he is worth what Miami has gotten for giving him up. The guy is awesome. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I just read that if they put Watson on the exempt list for the commissioner, he still gets paid, but it doesn't count toward the salary cap. So that frees up like $36 million or something. Because they're in cap hell right now. They've been turning everybody's salary into bonuses to free up money. Which I'm fine with. It's not my money. I don't care. So like Tunsil's making like $18 million this year as a bonus.
Jesus.
So if he gets hurt, he still gets $18 million.
Gotta love those NFL contracts.
I don't care. I mean, pay the guy.
No, guaranteed money.
They not deserve our money. It. Not our money.
Fucking play and entertain us.
You know. Yeah, it's worth it. The career could be over, but I don't know. We'll see what Caserio does. It's not like it's a West Coast offense where you can draft a kid in the 5th round and plug him in and he'll probably be okay, you know, like a Matt Schaub or something. I don't even know what kind of offense this guy runs from the Ravens. I don't know anything about this coach. I've been so frustrated this offseason. I love his attitude. I'm sure he's a great guy. It's a very weird hire for Caserio. Considering he had ties with the guy from, you know, Jesse's guy from Buffalo, the offensive coordinator from Buffalo that everybody said we were going to hire.
That guy's name was thrown out there. The guy from Kansas City's name was thrown out there.
Kansas City that never got hired, whose contract is up. I mean, everybody said we were going to hire who Watson wanted. Well, we hired a guy that Watson loves. It didn't help. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is our offensive coordinator is the same guy we had last year. And I was really impressed with that guy. So, I mean, but he also had Deshaun Watson. So, I don't know what to expect, really. It's kind of exciting, and it's kind of terrifying.
I think that most fans of any sport, or most fans, you know, you got a team that you root for on a daily basis. Bad shit happens, good shit happens, but you are in that spot where every move that Caserio makes is going to be a make or break for not just his job, but the new head coach's job and whoever they draft and the offensive line. And it's a trickle down effect. So anything that happens, it could be really, really good, or it can end up being really, really bad. That does make it very exciting. And I mean, I've been there, you know, Jay's been there with Dallas. Oh, yeah. I've been there with Buffalo. It just happens, but it's just something that, you know, everybody's got to ride out. And I do like Caserio. He's been around good organizations enough. Easterby, that situation needs to be fixed. I don't think it's going to, and that could be the downfall of what
he got Caserio the job. It's like firing your best friend, you know?
Yeah, that could just be one of those things that's just not happening at all. But last and final question. If we were to give you an over-under of 5.5 games – for this coming year's Houston Texans football team, are you taking the over or are you taking the under?
Obviously, it's without Watson, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because Watson's an automatic, obviously, 4 that we learned this past year. Speaking of what you said about Caserio, he did break a record. He made 30 moves. He signed 30 people this offseason. And I think 20 of them have a chance to start. That's how bad this defense is. And a lot of the guys are guys, you know, that have been on other teams that have impressed people. I like, you know, Kirksey, and they traded for was it Lawson from Miami. You know, but 5.5 games in a division with the Colts and the Titans, but I would probably give them 5 is, I think, is fair. just because there's too many unknowns. I mean, I don't even know who the receivers are. We got Brandon Cooks, who was great last year, by the way. I should eat my words there. He did great. Even without Will Fuller, he was awesome. But they don't have running backs. I mean, Ingram, no.
Philip Lindsay?
They got a lot of work to do.
Hey,
actually, yeah, you know what? I do like Lindsay. Yeah. I forgot about
pretty
Lindsay.
Pretty sure Houston stacked up their running back class is good right now.
They put a lot of guys in there who can carry the ball about 12 times a game, and if they stick to that, it's Baltimore. We're Baltimore
now. That. I like that.
But if we had Watson, we would be Baltimore with Watson, and that would be awesome.
Can't do it.
But, no, we can't. So we're Baltimore with Tyrod Taylor, and I think, honestly, that might be the same thing because I'm not big on Lamar. So we might be okay. We'll see. I doubt it.
Folks, that's from a true fan standpoint. Jay and I will obviously get into the NFL the closer we get to the time. Justin, real quick, you are in the middle of writing a book, I believe. You have written several. Sir, you don't have to plug any of the work itself, but please plug your author Twitter page, if you would, along with your individual Twitter page so everybody knows.
Okay, so the Twitter page I use pretty much to talk to you guys and sports and the fun stuff is just Justin Von Doom. That's the @, Justin Von Doom. And then the stuff I use for writing is I think it's writer_Justin. Let me look. Yeah, writer_Justin. And like anytime I do like a update or something, it goes on there. But most of the I use them both equally. So it's, you know, if you want to see me be bipolar about the Texans, you'll want the Justin Von Doom account.
It's pretty amazing.
That's
not
it. Follow Justin just for the downward spiral as a fan. He's a true fan, which is the short for fanatic. And watching him be miserable, just like all of us when our teams suck, it's an interesting follow. Follow him just for that and the dick jokes. Justin, you've been incredible as always. Thank you so much for joining us. We promise we'll have you back sooner than 5 years from now.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Have a good night, brother.
No problem, brother. Right. Have a good one.
Later.
Jess, I know you got to cut it short, too. Shout out, Justin, for coming on and staying long with us. We went a little bit long. Yeah. You got to bounce.